synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which one ought to work. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But Jesus answered and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When Jesus said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gospel of Christ. Please be seated. Well, what a wonderful summer this has been following Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. We have two more Sundays where we'll continue to reflect on what Jesus does and what Jesus says on the road to Jerusalem. And for the last few weeks, we've been focusing a lot on what Jesus says, because in the text, it's Jesus talking, and so we haven't been able to see a lot of what Jesus does. But today we have a few examples of some things that Jesus does, which I think is great for us to imitate, as we too are on our own roads to our own crosses. Especially, we have a story of someone who is facing her cross in desperate ways and has been facing her cross for 18 years. Someone who's bent over in pain, burdened by whatever it is she's burdened for 18 years. I wonder how long you've been carrying your cross. I wonder how long you've been facing your cross. And crosses come in all sizes and shape, don't they? There are crosses that we face, such as loneliness. And that's a tough one. There's crosses that we face of sickness, news that we get from doctors. And sometimes those crosses are related to the crosses of fear. There are crosses of hopelessness, as we might witness things in this world and wonder what on earth is going on with this world. The new cross that we're facing is the cross that the news is showing nonstop of pictures of the Amazon rainforest. Have you seen this? The world's on fire. And Jesus is walking with us as we face our crosses. And one of the practices we've been working on as we've faced these crosses is to remind ourselves that Jesus is walking with us on the cross. And we do that by, in our tradition, crossing ourselves. And it's been a while since I described why on earth anyone would ever do such a silly thing. I'm just going to explain why we would do such a silly thing, and then we're going to practice it. It's an old tradition. Some might suggest it's a pretty Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox tradition, and that's true, because if you go to an Eastern Orthodox church or a Roman Catholic church, you'll see people doing signs like this a lot more often than if you see them, people here in an Anglican church or another Protestant church. But Martin Luther, that famous person who started the Reformation, he said, when you wake up in the morning, bless yourself with the sign of the cross. When you go to bed, bless yourself with the sign of the cross, because it's not some magical thing that people do in order to put a charm on themselves or some superstitious rite. It's something we do when we wake up to remind ourselves that we are marked with Christ. We are following the path of Christ. We do it when we wake up, and we do it when we go to sleep. I've been playing with our overheads, getting ready for Startup Sunday. And at certain times in the liturgy, there are traditional places where one does mark themselves with the sign of the cross, and I've put a little cross there, because now that we're all experts at crossing ourselves, I'll give you some examples of when you might be able to do it in the service. Now, if that is, you know, the word that comes to mind, odious to you, or if you're like, that's silly, let me know, okay? We'll take the cross off. But I thought it might be a good example for us to constantly remember that we are following the path of Jesus, and the path of Jesus takes us to a cross. And the path of Jesus goes to crosses because our lives go to crosses, so that we know we're not alone on our way to our crosses. So how we do it is we take three fingers, and these three fingers remind us of who God is. God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. God is Creator, God is Redeemer, and God is Sanctifier. God is Life Giver and Life Holder and Life Example. And then we put those three fingers together to remind us that God is one, because in the scripture we read that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then we sign ourselves on our forehead to remind us that God can cleanse our minds and help our thinking. We mark our guts, our bellies, to remind us that God can help us in our appetites and in our passions and our desires. And we sign ourselves over our heart to remind us that God loves us and is with us and holds us close to God. And we cross over our shoulders to remind us that God is the one who gives us that yoke, that easy yoke, that easy way of living when we trust in God. And sometimes we go back to the heart because God is love, and that's really the most important thing. So we try that without me talking. We're on our own way to our own cross, but we are not alone. And what does Jesus do on his road? At the beginning of our reading, we hear that Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. So let's say it this way. Jesus went to work. Okay? Can you say that with me? Jesus went to work. Jesus is on his road to the cross. We might even say Jesus is aware of what he's going to face on the cross. We certainly know what Jesus is going to face on the cross because we have the whole story in front of us. He's going to face some pretty difficult things. He's going to face people hurting him. He's going to face people bullying him. He's going to face friends deserting him. And then he's going to face the pain, the physical pain of being crucified on a cross like a criminal. That is tough. And what does Jesus do as he is about to face this? He goes back to work. I think that's a remarkable thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm facing my own particular crosses, maybe it's anxiety. That's one of my crosses I face daily. If you hear me coughing, sometimes it's because I'm sick, but 99% is because my body doesn't know what to do with anxiety. And so I'm coughing because that's how I process it. But sometimes when I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, that's all I can think about. I become distracted, and I forget about life. What does Jesus remind me when he's facing his cross? Just get back to work. That is, just get back into the rhythms of your life. Yeah, you're facing some things that might suggest that life is too overwhelming, too overbearing for you. Just take one step at a time, get back to work. I went back to my job. I'm a rabbi. What do rabbis do? Rabbis go to synagogue and teach. So David, get back to work. Wake up, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, get in that car, drive to work, answer your emails, answer the phones, get back home. Make sure your children are fed. I forgot my kids in the morning. Sorry about that. Get back to work. So there's a posture Jesus is teaching us, and that is this posture of determination just 2 feet in front of us. Just get back to work. So why don't we make that posture ourselves. Look at your feet. When you are feeling overwhelmed with your cross, look at your feet, get back to work. I think it's an AA phrase, one step at a time. Is that true? Does anyone recognize that one? One step at a time. But that's not the only posture Jesus does. It's the first one, because it gets him back on track. But then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her, and he laid his hands upon her. Jesus saw her. Can you say that? He called her. He laid his hands on her. Okay, so the first posture, of course, down. One step at a time. Get to work, David. It's okay. But also stop and look around. Notice who's around you. Notice there are other people carrying their own crosses. Notice them. Isn't that a wonderful gift to give someone who is overwhelmed with their own cross? Just to notice them. Just that they feel that they have been seen. I wonder who you can notice today. Who in your life? A neighbor, a family member, a friend. Who can you notice today? Maybe you are that person who needs to be noticed. A woman appeared. What can you do to make yourself appear so that you can be noticed? And he calls her. Now, we don't know this woman's name, and that's one of the sadnesses of ancient texts like the scriptures. A lot of women are unnamed. And we have to hold that as a sadness of a system of forgetfulness, intentional forgetfulness of women. But let us imagine Jesus knew her name. He called her by name. He recognized her and called her by name. And then he went out and he touched her. Now, I know not of all of us here are huggers. I don't know if I am. But sometimes what we need, and sometimes what other people need on their road to the cross, is just that human contact. Just to remember that they are not alone on their road. And I think this is something Jesus teaches us in this story. So, the first posture is to look at our feet and take one step at a time. Can you do that? Well, you don't have to take a step, but just imagine you're taking a step. But then look up. Notice who's around you. Call them by name. And have some good human-to-human contact. Let's practice this, because I think we're here because we can practice, so that when we leave, we're ready, okay? So look down, look at your feet. Know who you are. You are here. The cross you are bearing is huge. But keep going. Now look up and notice who's sitting next to you. Look at them in the eyes. Okay, you got someone? Now say their name. Say hi. And with their permission, grab their hand or put your arm on their shoulder. Give them a squeeze and say, I am here. Now look behind you. Who do you see? Maybe you don't know their name. Ask their name. And then say hi. With their permission, reach out and shake their hand. On the way to Jerusalem, on the way to the cross, when we are overwhelmed like I am sometimes with anxiety, whatever is the cross that you bear, and we all have them, keep going. Look up. Notice somebody, and maybe you're the one who needs to be noticed, so make yourself appear. Call them by name. And connect. Jesus Christ, our friend and our helper. Amen. As you're able, please stand. This is a walking song, okay?